Well, folks, shame on. Yep. Well, folks, good morning. The Lord be with you. Thank you for coming out this morning. There are not many announcements because I think everybody's been here before, but can I encourage you to, and I have to be careful how I say this, can I encourage you to say to other folks about returning back to church? But I'm very conscious that for some people, that's a very uncomfortable thing to be doing. To give you an example, just literally in the past couple of days, you know, I've been informed of a parishioner who, with their entire family, have come down with coronavirus. And so in no way would I force people to come out. But if you know of people who would be able and are okay, then please encourage. It would be great to get the numbers up again. It'll never be to the level that it would have been of 70 people, but at least to get a few others out. So if you see people around or you're talking to them on the phone, please say to them, unless it is that you don't like the service, at which point I suspect this will be the last time I'll see you. But hopefully the format of what we're doing, short and straightforward, it is working at the minute. But please also let me know if you think that we could be doing things better. At the end of our time together, please remember to wait for the steward who'll guide you out through that way and wash your hands, whatever, as you go. Every day of our lives, we can thank God for so many things, even in these difficult times. Whether it's the simple thing of just being able to come out to church, or whether it's an answer to prayer, or whatever it is, there are definitely things to thank the Lord for. Maybe for some of you, think about Jenkins, think about myself, we're thanking the Lord that in the next couple of days we'll be able to bless our school for their children once again, and get them back out there again. Maybe not. So, because of the fear also and the worry of all the things that are going on at the minute. But we have lots of opportunity to praise God, and I just wanted to share some words from Psalm 100, which declare God's praises. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. As we come each Sunday for a time of confession at the beginning of our service, we should be doing this not because we know it's that part in the service and we're so used to the format and the structure, but rather that we're coming earnestly seeking and thirsting after God, who we know brings calm to any storm that we go through in life, who restores our mind and our soul and releases us from the burden that sin can entangle us. Psalm 42 is a kind of lament, crying out to God when the psalmist is feeling low and downcast. And so as we prepare to come to God in confession this morning, let's listen now to the words of the psalm adapted into the song, As the Deer Pants for the Water. So as we come now and as we thirst after God in our lives, let's take a moment of reflection just to think about areas of our lives where we've fallen short. It could be even just this morning where we've said something or we've maybe not done something that we should have done. We can come to God and say sorry. And so we join together with the words on the screen. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, pardon and deliver us from all of our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our reading today continues where we left off last week in Acts chapter 11. And this time we begin at verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When they arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just as we begin to share God's word, let's pray. Father God, as we come now to look at your word, we thank you for the church as it grew in Antioch. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is still alive as it was back then. And may your Spirit now speak into our hearts about what you want the church to be in these times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, if it wasn't for major shifts in technological, engineering, or medical developments throughout our time of history, we wouldn't have the advances that we have today. Sometimes there are things that are so significant in history that they change absolutely everyone's lives. Just think, for example, about the combustion engine. Through it, the whole world has opened itself up to transportation across the world. Or what about the mobile phone? To be able to actually stay in touch with someone and not have to wait at home for the call, to be able to take your phone with you. I remember showing our kids at an early age a phone with the actual dial around it, and for a minute or two they had no idea what exactly it was. Or what about Amazon as an organisation? People now don't have to get up off the sofa to do their shopping. And in 2019, Amazon's UK sales alone were £13.5 billion. And globally in that same year, their sales was £215 billion. So those folks are what we call game changers. They are the things that affect our lives every day. As we follow the book of Acts today, we'll see through the good news of Jesus Christ being shared into that community that an incredible change that's going to affect everyone's life takes place. And it's going to change everything around it. So what specifically are the changes that it brought? Well, the first thing that the good news did was it affected how these folks evangelized. By this stage in the book of Acts, these folks are far away from Jerusalem. The gospel is spreading, but it's doing so as a result of being persecuted. After Stephen has been martyred, a severe persecution takes place across the church in Jerusalem, and so the people naturally have to flee for their lives, and they're scattered throughout the lands of Judea and Samaria. Some have travelled north to Phoenicia, which is modern-day Lebanon. Others have gone to sea, and they've headed to Cyprus. And then there's others who've travelled up to Antioch, which today is kind of central Turkey. But whilst they're scattered, they're still telling people about Jesus. Now, I wonder if you were being attacked. In fact, if you were being hunted down for your faith, what would you do? Would you stay silent or would you speak out? You see, this persecution didn't shut these folks up at all. Verse 19 tells us that most of them, though, are only sharing the gospel with Jews. You might remember the past 2 weeks we had the whole discussion about Peter opening up to the Greeks. And so these folks are only speaking to the Jews. Now, the reason I think that is because they're fleeing for their lives and they're surrounded with a lot of other Jewish folks. I might be wrong about that. But then something seismic changes. There's something significant changes. In verse 20, we see people from Cyprus and Cyrene. Now, Cyrene would have been, that's northern Africa, make it to Antioch, and they start speaking the gospel to Greek-speaking Gentiles. Now, why is speaking the gospel in Antioch such a groundbreaking thing? Well, Antioch was a massive city in the Roman Empire. It was the third largest of its time, and there were over 500,000 people living within its boundaries. And because it was the central hub for trade and commerce between Europe and Asia, it was a mixture of cultures, of ethnicities, and religions. Somewhere along the line, however, in Antioch's history, walls were actually built in the city, defense of different groups of people. It's literally a city that's divided, where the Jews have their quarter, the Greeks have theirs, the Syrians have theirs, and the Romans have theirs. And also, Antioch had a reputation of being very corrupt and evil. And yet here we see in chapter 11 that the gospel flourishes in this environment. We would think it might have had the opposite effect, but instead it flourishes. So how come they were making a difference where I'm guessing others might not have? Well, we get a sense from verse 21 that the Lord's favour was on them in what they were doing. But we also get an understanding from a very simple word in verse 20. It's worth looking up. It'll not blow you away. It's the word speak. It says that they spoke. The Greek word, me back to my Greek again, the Greek word for speak is a word called elalun, okay? And that means that the believers were speaking to the locals in ordinary everyday conversation. There's another Greek word that could have been used, which is the word kouroussou, and kouroussou means to preach, okay? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say they went out and preached. They spoke in their normal conversations. It wasn't like they were getting a sermon. They were articulating the gospel in very understandable ways. You know, I hear too often from people that they don't seem to understand what the Bible says. Maybe it's because we have intellectualized the gospel and made it too complex for people to understand. We've got to tell people about the gospel today in our own words and what God has been doing to us with the Spirit equipping us. These Christians were ordinary people who had a story to tell about how Jesus changed their lives. We've got to speak the good news in our everyday conversations. These groups of believers show us today how to be involved with people who are far from God, who have different cultures from ours, who have different religious beliefs than we do, and how we're to learn to live faithfully and graciously and wisely among them as we just go about speaking ordinarily to them. I suppose the question on that point is this: what way are you just simply speaking about Jesus in your context? The next thing was that the gospel affected how they discipled to each other. In verse 22, it says that news reached the church in Jerusalem. Now, can you imagine the shock and concern that they would have had in Jerusalem to think that these folks in Antioch are talking to pagans in Antioch? Jews meeting with Gentiles. And so what do they do to fix that? Well, the church in Jerusalem sends someone who's going to be upstanding, someone who can bring things back into order, and they send Barnabas. So we know from this passage that Barnabas is, it says, a good man and full of the Holy Spirit. Now, the danger in a Northern Ireland context is whenever we hear the word good or good living, I think is the term that we use, that we think it means someone who's just a nice person. But the translation of this word good actually means that Barnabas was righteous. He was right before God. You see, when people are looking for volunteers to do the jobs, they often call upon the most gifted and talented individuals. But that's not important here. They sent a man that was full of faith. But here's the game changer. Because when Barnabas arrives in Antioch, he sees what God has been doing and he rejoices. Barnabas experiences a new type of church with Jews and Gentiles worshipping together. He wasn't critical of what he saw. He didn't try to change it. Instead, he was committed to helping the believers grow. And so Barnabas realized that he didn't need reinforcements from Jerusalem. In fact, what he did was he sought after Saul. Barnabas knows Saul and he trusts him. And then for the next year, literally a year, they invest together in discipling the new Christians. And as a result of their investment, here we see the first time ever that the word Christian is used. They were so different from the culture that the word that word got out that these folks were different from everybody else. They shaped each other, and so began the transformation within the city. And I suppose the question around this is this for you: what are you doing to shape others around you in the faith? So evangelism happened, discipleship happened, and then finally, ministry happened. This is such an encouraging picture today of the model of church and its growth, one we really need to pay attention to in our times. These folks in Antioch start off as unbelievers. They hear the gospel, and from hearing the gospel, they become new believers. From there, they became active in sharing their faith. Then they grow in their understanding of God's word, and now they're determined to show fruit from it. I don't know whether any of you were like me and were totally gobsmacked at how toilet rolls and wipes disappeared off the shelves in Asda during the lockdown period. For a while, it really did feel as if the end of the world had come, and it felt so self-centered. But I believe many people during the past number of months have noticed the church as it has stepped forward in doing something different into our community through things like Together Ballyclare. Instead of the panic that was around our streets, I believe the Church of God has provided real hope. The church in Antioch
did something different also. They went into spontaneous action of collecting goods and funds and sending them to the believers in Judea. These new believers were not thinking about themselves. They didn't store up stuff for themselves. They instead thought about others. There was such a sense of generosity. Verse 29 tells us that each of the disciples gave according to his ability, which means that they would have had to tap into their own reserves, and they just had enough faith and trust to know that God would care for them if the famine came to Antioch. But the aspect, and this is what I want to finish with, that is the game changer here, is that we see one church community helping another, even though there were clear cultural differences. That's like us today saying that there's a church down the street that's falling down because of finances, and with our reserves that we make the decision to take some of those reserves and give it away to bless the other. So here, folks, is that model of church that we all can learn from so much. It was a game changer back then, which can create such a significant impact on us today about how we do church. Do we believe that we can do the same thing? Maybe today has made you realize that what you have allowed, or what I have allowed church to become, is really not what God wants church to be. As we move into the new normal, whatever that might be, we have an opportunity as the Church of God to reach into our community as ordinary people, simply telling the story of Jesus in a refreshing way, shaping each other as believers for the mission of God that he's placed on us, and reaching out with that generous heart. And I suppose just as I finish, my only concern is that many of us will find the occupations of our daily lives distracting us from the first call from God on our lives, and that is to go and make disciples. We can keep the church as an institution, and the Church of Ireland does that very well, or like the new church in Antioch, we can cause an incredible transformation to take place in our community. Do we truly believe that the Church of God could be the catalyst for incredible change? If you do, then what are you doing about it? Amen. As a response to what we've listened to this morning from God, the girls are going to sing a hymn to us, which is so well known, Blessed Assurance. And as you reflect on where we are as a society, the seismic shift and impact that we as a church can be to bless others, then we want to submit our lives to Jesus. Like those disciples in Antioch, we need to tell our story, don't we? In our own way, and people will hopefully see the joy in us that we can bring today, praising our Saviour all the day long. We're going to stand now and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let's stand. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take your seats as we pray. We're going to begin our prayers with the collect, or the prayer that's set aside for this Sunday, the 12th Sunday after Trinity. And you'll see the words that are on the screen if you would like to follow these in our prayers. Almighty, almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church across all the world. Renew the life of this, our Diocese of Connor, and in particular in this week ahead, as George Davidson is consecrated as our bishop on Thursday. Would you build him up with the strength of your Holy Spirit and to be a witness of leadership full of integrity and truth and righteousness each and every day that he serves you in this diocese? We thank you for his service already in Carrickfergus. We pray for them as a church as they have said goodbye to their rector. And we pray, Lord, that you will equip him with a team of people around him that seek after your will for our diocese. Lord, as we've been thinking this morning about seismic changes and things that happen, we pray with real faith this morning that we will, through George's leadership, we will see incredible evangelism take place across our diocese, that we will see people in our churches grow more in discipleship, and that we will see the ministry of the churches reaching out to provide for those that are in need across our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of creation, would you look with favor on the world that you've made? Guide the nations in ways of justice and peace. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all that are in authority. And we pray at this time, Lord, for the nations across the world as they all gather with questions about how to handle the global pandemic that we are still involved with. Lord, I pray this morning specifically for the scientists who are trying to come up with a cure for this. Lord, I thank you that you have given great skill to scientists and many in our world. And Lord, I pray that they will pool their resources together to bring about good to those across our world. Lord, I pray in particular that when they are working towards this, that our governments will not, as they do in other things, they will not pull favor with each other so that the rich always get first. But Lord, that we will look with our leaders at how those in countries around our world that don't have the same supplies of medicines as we have and will be able to receive the medicines in the same way as we will. Lord, I pray for our own politicians and for the pressures that they are under at this time. We pray for those that are involved at a local level within our community, especially at this time as shops and businesses struggle to make ends meet. Give them the wisdom to know how to help and to resource our community. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering at this time. And Lord, we do think about the many people who are fearful about coming out to church or even just going out into the shops at this time. Would you be with those who are feeling lonely, feeling isolated, those who are waiting for test results, those that are in hospital at this time, and those who are fearful about the future? And so just in a moment of silent prayer, let's bring before God those known to us who need his healing touch at this time. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, we pray for our children. And we pray for the schools as they return back in these coming days. Lord, we thank you for the energy that our children bring into our lives. We thank you for the life that they bring into our own church family here. Lord, I pray that the sense of excitement that is in them to get back and enjoy the friendship with friends that they maybe haven't seen for months will continue, but Lord, that you will protect them in these days and protect the teachers and all those that go to help them. Lord, we thank you for the great risks that our teachers take in these times, and thank you for all the work that has been done in so many schools to make our schools a safe place. So Father, we just pray for them today. We pray for them that you will surround each of those kids with a real sense of your Spirit's protection. And Lord, for their future, we thank you that in the midst of all the things that we're going through, Lord, that you are shaping children to be the next influencers in a new generation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, just as we finish, let's pray the prayer which Jesus taught us, a prayer that reminds us to come to a holy God, that we seek his will in our lives, that we ask him for his provision, his forgiveness, and his direction. And so we pray, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Folks, just before our final blessing, just two little announcements to make. Well, three, actually. Just remembered another one. Three to make. Do you remember that David is still off? He's recovering at home after his operation. And so if you need anything from the office or any issues around Paris, just contact me directly. Secondly, for our young people, we're currently trying to work a way through possibly starting our Sunday schools back. But that will be done remotely via Zoom or whatever other means that we have for that, which will mean possibly on a Sunday, if we can work at all, that there'll actually be a period, we don't know the timings yet, where our kids will be able to join for a short time together, because we're very conscious that we want to engage with them as much as possible. The third thing just to mention is, again, trying, and hopefully lockdown doesn't happen again, but trying in this period to do as much as we can. We're going to try and get our house groups and our Bible studies up and running again from September. But what we're going to do is we're going to utilise these buildings to allow for socially distanced sort of facilities. So please, if you're interested in that and being part of it, maybe you've never been part of a small group or a house group before, please let me know. We're going to start those up in the middle of September, just after our week of prayer. We're going to have a week of prayer from the 7th of September for the normal Monday through to Friday. And we're going to be using the churches to have those prayer times. So think about that for September. We've been talking this morning about discipleship. Think about how you yourself can maybe make that step in September to grow and to go deeper in your relationship with God. Remember, just as you leave, that the stewards will guide you out through the back doors as you leave. Let me pray God's blessing over us as we finish. May God sustain you in all your works and in all your ways. May he make you humble, just, and true. May he strengthen you in holiness and righteousness. May he equip you to speak about him this week in your everyday lives. And may he fill your home with love and with peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you, rest upon you, this day and always. Amen.